Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Off the Shelf for this Saturday, and it's sunny here in Philadelphia today. Thank you, Lord. It is March the 6th, 2010, 11 in the morning, same time that we hook up with you guys live every Saturday here at Off the Shelf on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Denise Turney, coming to you live from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Still waiting for our guest, Tina Turbin. She enjoyed being on the first show. We enjoyed having her, and she wanted to come back. So waiting for her to dial in. Until she does, just want to let you know that I am the author of the books Portia, Spiral, Love Has Many Faces, and Long Walk Up, and my new book, which is Love Pour Over Me, expecting to have that out later this year. Please stop in and visit me online today at www.chistel, that is chistell.com, and pick up a copy of Long Walk Up. If you want to get an autograph, special autograph for yourself or someone else for the book that you purchase a copy for, just shoot me an email and let me know what you want have said in a special autograph. Or if you order through PayPal, you can put what you want in that special autograph there. And I'll autograph a special copy to you. All the books go out in the United States, priority mail, and you never, ever, ever have to pay shipping and handling. So all you pay is the cost of the book. And I think Tina just joined us, so we're going to connect with her.
Hello.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I am fine. How are you?
I am blessed. I'm doing wonderful. The sun is coming through the window, so it's a wonderful day in here after so many snowy days here in Philadelphia. So this is a wonderful, gorgeous, beautiful day. So happy to have you with us. Tina, the show has started. We've been going now, probably going on our third minute. So happy to have you here with us again this morning, Miss Tina Turbin. I want to introduce you to our listeners here at Off the Shelf. Again, I was just encouraging our listeners, stop in, please. Visit me online at www.chistel.com and pick up a copy of my new book, Long Walk Up. It is a poignant, inspirational book that readers have truly loved, been motivated and inspired and empowered from reading. I'm so happy to have all of our listeners here with us at Off the Shelf. I just think you are the best listeners in the world, and we bring the best guests to you. Today we have Tina Turbin, who is the author of the books Danny the Dragon and Showbiz Kids East Coast Guidebook. And I think you just had another book come out, Danny Dreams, and I want to talk about that at today's show. Tina is also a researcher. She's a licensed decorator, I think something that she did more in the past. She's a wife, a mother to three beautiful children, and her books have been praised and spoken very highly of by established artists and organizations like Judy Blume, Susan Gilbert, and USA Book News, which is quite an accomplishment. She is online. Please visit her. Stop in, visit me online, and visit Tina Turbin at www.tinaturbin.com. Her name is spelled TINATURBIN. Again, that's www.tinaturbin.com. Please stop over, check her out. She's got a blog and a lot of wonderful things at her website. I think your kids would love to check out her website, so you could take them there with you. Welcome to Off the Shelf, Tina.
Thank you. What a lovely introduction.
So glad to have you. So glad to have you back again. So enjoyed you so much the first time, and expect to hear what you've been up to lately.
My gosh. A lot.
Oh, I can tell. So that was my first question. What have you been up to over the last several months?
Well, we did release you mentioned the second book. We did release the audiobook.
Okay.
And the audiobook is the reading of the story itself, the Danny the Dragon, the first story, and it is followed by 10 beautiful, classically composed songs by wonderful composers that are working artists in Hollywood for movies and TVs, and their music is just beautiful. So it's very soothing for a child, but at the same time, it's one of those CDs or audiobooks, because it has the book to begin, you know, at the first track, but it's one of those CDs you can play in your home while you're cooking or while you're just reading a book, and it's just very, very peaceful because, I mean, look at the artists that are, you know, have donated their music. It's incredible. So that we've been working on. I have been touring. I have been touring all over the place,
wow,
from the West Coast to the East Coast. And I am getting prepared. In April, we took the book and made it into a DVD, and it has sign interpretation for the deaf. And that is being released. So we're doing quite a bit of work on that right now.
Wow, you are real. The last time we spoke, you were going to be appearing with, it was not like some type of Muppets. I forget where it was. In
Sesame Street?
Yes, yes, the last time
yeah.
that we had spoke. So I know you were going to be appearing there, and now you have a lot of other things going. How was that? How did that go?
That was beautiful. That was an incredible experience in Pasadena, California. It was a venue that housed 2,500 people, and one of the conductors from the Pasadena College there does a yearly event for children. I think it's Family Night, but it was all revolved around the theme of Sesame Street and all of the characters there. And everybody, and again, it was all, the whole stage was the complete orchestra. They were all dressed in Halloween costume. The conductor was Oscar the Grouch, and she conducted in the inside of her garbage can. I mean, it was just very, it was so cute. But what she did, and the way it happened, Denise, it's so interesting, is she contacted one of the composers in Los Angeles and asked him if she had seen the sheet music. And composers can look at sheet music and know. It's just like you and I can read a book and know what the words say. They can look at the music. And she looked at the sheet music, and she said it was just a beautiful song, and she wanted to play it. And she had invited him, and he said, well, I just need to let you know that that particular song is on this woman's audiobook, Tina Turbin.
And so she
contacted me and said, can I have a copy? I sent it to her. And she said, I would love to introduce you this evening. And I said, well, it's interesting because we have this DVD that we're releasing not until April, but your audience, the kids might like it because, you can put it on a huge screen. So what she did is not only did she play the song as part of her evening, but the screen came down and they showed the display of the DVD. And the kids were just thrilled. And
oh,
then I gave
my
out
goodness.
Yeah, and I'm known for being one of those authors that loves to give out bookmarks and door hangers and pencils and allergy-free tattoos. So the kids just walked away just with their hands loaded, you know.
Well,
it was
such
a special evening.
Wow, I'm so happy to hear that, Tina. I was so excited
for
you when we talked on the last show about that. You said, you know, Sesame Street, the history of it. It's just, and then just the way you can tell the programmers really gear that show toward children. They've done it from the start, and they continue to do that. I don't even, whatever other TV shows and television stations decide to do, Sesame Street has remained loyal to, you know, just providing entertainment for children. So I was so happy
Absolutely.
For you, and that for that to happen as well is just a pick-me-up. I mean, just something really, really wonderful. Many of our listeners here at Off the Shelf, we've got new listeners who've come since the last time that you were on the show. So I still want to go over and talk about some of your books. I don't want to assume that everybody tuning in or who will tune into this show already knows all about your books. So I do want to talk about some of your books and the fact that you have, as I said before, just an amazing life. Your website, I go on, a lot of websites when I'm traveling around through the internet or looking for something, some type of information. Your website is one of the most colorful, visually just appealing, pull you in. Whoever the illustrations for Danny the Dragon, I got to tell you, your website is just, it is
you're talking about DannyTheDragon.com.
Oh my goodness, it is just one of the best that I have seen. I got to tell you, it is so incredibly, just so professionally done. I wanted to ask you next, because you do so much, Tina, and now you're traveling East and West Coast. How are you the mother of three kids, and I asked you this on the last show. I like to ask this because a lot of times as parents and especially as mothers, I've seen women put their dreams on hold forever, after they have children. How were you able to, it still amazes me, how were you were able to raise three children and stay focused so that you could continue to work on your talent business and now you do writing and other things that you do? How were you able to do that? Was there some kind of, did you have a schedule or what did you do to help yourself?
Well, let me tell you, I did not do the writing that I'm doing now while they were young. And I have to be real honest about that. I don't want to give you the long version, but I don't really have a short version, so I'll just be honest. How's that?
Okay.
You know, I had my first child, and I was young. I married young, and I was already I had a life of a lot of being involved in the arts, painting, drawing, writing. But I married young and fell in love and married young and got pregnant. And it all happened very fast, but I had my I delivered that first baby, Jason, and I never knew that I was going to fall so deeply and so quickly and so madly in love, not only with my child, but the whole concept of motherhood. It was so intense to me. And then I had two more children, and it just got better and better. But my first child was very much an artist. I mean, from the beginning when he started walking around in his diapers, he was just into music. If there was anything musically on, he was mesmerized. And at that point, I lived in Florida. I had gone back to California, and some people had mentioned that he had such a talent. He would sing, just sing a lot, and his voice was good. And it's very interesting because some people had mentioned to me, you know, you should do something with him and see if he'd be good on commercials or whatever. And I was told how hard it is to get an agent. Well, we went for four auditions one day, and we had all four of them wanted him.
Wow.
And I thought, what is happening here? So
wow.
That, to make a long story short in regards to that, what ended up happening is with him working on TV and commercials and TV series, there were so many women that knocked on my door and called me up and, can you help me with my kid? And that's how we evolved into doing a studio. It wasn't really a passion of mine, other than I had worked with an agent when I was 16. So, in his office. Mm-hmm. But what ended up happening is that's how I got in the entertainment business. But I ended up, it sort of evolved because I was buying homes and then had to buy a bigger home because I had another child. And I got into decorating and eventually I got licensed so that I could save money on this. You know, mm-hmm. and on the decorating. Then I started designing furniture. But what ended up happening is, from the beginning, I always knew that I had my personal goals. And I knew that once I fell in love with being a mother, and that I put really my own personal goals, which was my painting and my drawing and my writing, I put that really to the side because I was still doing things so much for other people.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew, and I'd seen too many women in their 40s or 50s, or if they were late families in their 60s, that at the end of their child going off, you know, at the end of raising children going off to college, I saw that they were left with nothing if they
yes.
didn't, you know. And I saw divorces happening, and
oh my goodness.
I saw husband, you know, and it had nothing to do really with, oh, you know, we lost the love for each other. It was just, you just don't have a game. You don't have something. You know, the husband and the wife, even I've seen men when they retire, all of a sudden they're at the doctor's office every other week,
yes.
you know. Why do they get sick, you know?
Yes.
You know, they were fine when they were busy all day long, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of always recognized that. I was one of these children that always observed life. So I was quick to notice that when my kids got older, I was going to do and pursue my dreams. And my writing is very, very much my writing and my drawing and painting, but I do not illustrate my books. But my writing is just so dear to me. I write more than children's books because I write a lot of articles for publications online and off.
Mm-hmm.
And
wow.
You know, so I write a lot and I love it, but I didn't do this before. And it does take, through being a mother up until the point that, you know, they got older, everything I did, and I think any mother listening to this will tell you, You can't get a lot done without being a little organized.
Yeah, no. That's what I'm saying. With three kids, I have one son, and I know what I was doing, working full time and raising him. And kids need so much love and affection and support and guidance and the whole, you know, just the whole thing. So I know for me and to write, when they're real young, until my son was five, I said, it's just him. You can't even, get a moment sometimes.
No.
So with three kids still, I hear what you're saying. It evolved for you, and I think it's phenomenal. Your youngest kind of led you into the art. Your youngest, your little boy,
yeah.
Jason, or now he's grown, but kind of led you down that path. But with three kids still, to be able to do what you did, I wow.
There was days I would pick up Jason from school because if he wasn't working, he was a very active actor. He was booked a lot for shows. So if he wasn't working, we would usually go for auditions. So I was nursing, picking up one child from school, and then picking up him, and we would not get home till the evening. So I would have my cooler in the van, and that was dinner and all the snacks and all the books for the little two, for the little one to read to his baby sister. So it took a lot of organizing. And, my book, it was really funny. My book was a result, the Showbiz Kids East Coast Guidebook, was a result of my closing out the studio in Los Angeles, coming to Florida again, getting a lot of calls asking, how can I do this with my children? And I decided, I started doing some seminars, and I decided I don't really want to do this. What I'd like to do is have a concise guidebook that's just as good as my seminars, and that somebody can go through step by step, mark off their checklist that they did this, and at the end of that, they basically have their agent.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what the East Coast Guidebook, and it's primarily for the East Coast states. It's not the same. There's a few tools that are different for somebody who lives on the West Coast because they kind of play it different with the agents. You usually have one agent in California for your theatrical. You can have the same agent for your commercial. But in Florida, you can have multiple agents.
I had a friend who was an actress on Punky Brewster, and she's in college, but she still has her family did very well with that money, and she still has money from that show, so she did well. But she's at a certain point.
My son is friends with Soleil. Soleil was Punky Brewster.
Okay. She said at a certain point she got tired of and she was on the East Coast up in the New York City area. She got tired at a certain point, she told me. I forget how old she was. She was either maybe around 12. She just said she spent her whole day Saturdays, her and her mother, just bebopping from one place to the next. And she got a little tired of doing that after a while. So her mother said, fine, if you don't want to do it anymore, then they wouldn't. She did enjoy it for a while, but then after a while she got tired of doing it. What I wanted to ask you was, because a lot of parents do want to, they their children, they're adorable, and my little baby would be so good on a commercial or on this TV show or whatever. When it comes to getting a child in that, is that something that you, if the child does naturally kind of draw down that path, that you would say to a parent to, I really wouldn't say push it. I mean, years later it might come back that the kid not be a good thing, to really almost let the child decide whether or not they want to do it. And the next question I wanted to ask you before we talk about Danny the Dragon is, do you think it's easier to break into the entertainment industry with a child breaking in on the West Coast or on the East Coast? I'm thinking the West Coast, but more than I do about that.
Well, on your second question, I think that there's more opportunities on the West Coast. And when I say the West Coast, I'm primarily talking Los Angeles.
Yes.
If you're talking East Coast, and that's more for movies and TV. Okay, movies,
mm-hmm.
TV, commercials, a lot in the West Coast. For me, my idea is East Coast, if you're looking to get into really good Broadway and really good theater, you can definitely get into that, I think, easier. I mean, there's smaller shows in Los Angeles, but the more popular ones are East Coast, unless you do a tour. Like my son, he was 9 years old. He did the Broadway tour of Les Miserables for his voice. But
okay.
If you're in Florida or you're in Georgia, it is going to be definitely slower than any of those states. And then the other question was about kids, if they have an inclination. I really have to tell you, I've seen parents go very headstrong into an area of the entertainment business because their child has got the looks,
mm-hmm.
and a little bit of the intention, and you can see where it goes. But once you see that the kid isn't having fun,
yeah.
You may be having fun because you like the checks or because you have a big dream and you still haven't received the checks yet, but that is their life, you know, and you miss out a lot of childhood. My son missed a lot of school days because you do school on the set, and there's not a lot of playground time. You know, you have different families. If you're working on a TV show, your new family becomes your new TV series, so to speak, and you have your other friends that you go back to school to. But my son, like some of the children, if you see that they have a passion, whether it's to be a ballerina, an actor, or whatever, my son is now 28, and he went out of acting, but he benefited from his voice because he was used so much for commercials for his voice and during the tour of Les Mis, that's what he writes music now for a living, but his voice is used a lot still. He'll be hired to sing something, you know. So I do know that he's sort of what I saw was always there in him.
Right.
But it's funny because he doesn't love being on stage now. He doesn't love being the focus of attention more than he likes to write the music for a TV show or a movie, you know?
Okay.
Which
and
is
you,
very interesting.
And being, I think, just listening to you talk, again, as we get ready to talk about Danny the Dragon, that part of you, how your son, when he loved music, and then that kind of led you down the path, getting involved, and then other mothers came to you, how can I get my child an agent, how can I get them started in the industry, and you wrote the Showbiz Kids East Coast Guidebook, and then when your son, I guess, was ready, like my friend who I told you was on Punky Brewster and some other shows and things, when she told her mom, you know, Mom, I really don't want to spend my Saturdays bebopping all over the city trying to find another show to land or going from agent to agent. I really don't want to do that anymore. Her mother just let go, and she said, fine. And rather than the push and push and push, but you've come so far and all this stuff. So I think it's wonderful that you let your son all along the way sort of, he was like the guy the whole way, and I think that's wonderful. I want to talk about Danny the Dragon for our listeners here at Off the Shelf who are maybe be completely unfamiliar with the book. Again, I encourage people to go to Tina's website. I cannot tell you enough when you get there. It's like, wow, I love the illustration at the website. And our website, again, is www.tinaturbin.com, and that's TINATURBIN, www.tinaturbin.com. I really encourage you to go there, bookmark her site, and come back again and again. The last time we were here, as we were discussing earlier in the show, she was going to go to Sesame Street program, and now she's touring. So this is a woman who has things going. So you want to bookmark her website so you can keep up with what she's doing. But to talk about Danny the Dragon, when you go to the site, he said the colors are just, oh, my God, it's so inviting. I encourage parents to take their kids there because I think they would have a wow moment at that site.
Yeah, they can enter. The kids can enter the monthly contest. I love giving away, as I said earlier. So the kids, there's a contest button on the first page, and it's so easy to enter for the kids, and they have a lot of fun. The winners are always given a generous amount of Danny little goodies.
Oh, that's wonderful. Tell us about Danny the Dragon. Tell us about Danny, why you decided, you know, this character, Danny the Dragon, and talk about some of the other main characters in the books.
Sure. Well, Danny the Dragon is a very, very, he is a proper, somewhat proper, and definitely a friendly dragon. You'll see that I created his character without the talons. He has no sharp nails. He's a friendly in appearance as well. He's a traveling dragon. You do not know yet where he's from, but he always is traveling with his companion, which is his navigator, who is Skipper. Some of the kids say that he's a frog. Some of the kids say that he's a lizard. Some of the kids say he's a pollywog. So at this point, I leave that up to the children's imagination because everybody has their own idea. Skipper is a little guy, and you'll notice that he always carries a little notepad and a pencil, and he's always taking notes or he's always writing little things, and you don't know yet why he's doing that. Not in this book, you don't. Not in the first book. Mm-hmm. But you do get introduced to the fact of how he came, how Danny and his traveling companion Skipper, and they travel in a shell, and there's a way in which they get into the shell and they come out and they're bigger than the shell, and that's also revealed in the book. And we have other characters. Jimmy, who is the main character in the family, who befriends Danny the Dragon and Skipper and also introduces him to his sister Sally, and then the mom and dad. And these characters themselves were ideas that I just came up with. There was nothing that specifically sparked my interest in creating a dragon as my main character, other than I was trying to think of which type of character I wanted, and I didn't want anything that really associated with our present life.
Okay.
I wanted something more magical and unique, yet my little green character, Skipper, is more something that kids can identify with. So it does leave some imagination as to where they came from. I just did, oh gosh, I don't know how many interviews in the last week, probably 49.
Wow.
Last 2 weeks, I'm sorry, 49 interviews. And a lot of the questions asked me, like, where are they from? Well, I can't say where they're from because I'm not allowed to do that for future books because of publishing reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the questions was, are they from here? And I can tell you, no, they're not from here.
Okay.
And where they're going and their adventures are all in the future books, and that's all very exciting. And Jimmy, some of the characters, though, as far as my creating their looks, did come off of my children or their friends. Not necessarily the personalities, but just, I wanted him to have little freckles and this color hair.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
That type of idea. But you'll notice if you go to the website or if anybody purchases the book that Danny has big red shoes and he always has a backpack.
Mm-hmm.
And his backpack is very much an important part of his travels, and he's got all sorts of things in there. And the kids,
okay.
kids get very curious about that. Like, why is he wearing a backpack? What's in there, Because when
wow.
I do the readings at the schools and the libraries, or I just did a big fundraiser for a YMCA, that's always a question, like, why does he wear big red shoes and such? What's in his backpack? Their questions. I love the kids' questions.
And as an author, when you get the same questions over and over, that's interesting for me anyway, to see that this particular thing grabbed so many readers' attention, that these particular things, like you said, the red shoes, that so many of the children are interested in the same thing. As an author, I guess they also is something that you could, in future books, maybe expand on or just talk a little bit about, since children are
Absolutely.
So interested in it. Now, I know you just released the audio book and you just, a DVD, and you're just a busy lady touring and doing interviewing and just getting Danny out there. The first book in the series, if I'm correct, was it Danny the Dragon Meets Jimmy?
Exactly. The first book is Danny the Dragon Meets Jimmy, and that's sort of the introduction. Do you remember the books, the older books, Babar or... Babar were the elephants, and then there was also Curious George, and you get...
Yes.
Yeah, there's always a first book that introduces sort of how everything just started. That is Danny the Dragon Meets Jimmy. That is Danny the Dragon's inception into the book world. That's his introduction. That's his birth. So that's very much the first book.
And give us the titles of the next books, because you've written another one, correct?
I have two treatments right now for the next two, and I'm working on a children's cookbook that is not just a cookbook. It has allergy-free activities. It's
mm-hmm.
a mixture of gluten-free cooking and allergy-free cookbooks. But the treatments, the titles change. The titles change. I have to tell you that. So the title may change before it even hits the streets,
Right.
So I can't tell you what the title will be. Sometimes that does get changed on me.
Right. When can we expect the next installment?
The next book?
Yeah.
I would say the next book definitely will be out before the end of the year, and it might be two of them.
Wow. Okay. Okay, so we can have two more books. And then are you – I want to talk about this later in the show, but I guess touch on it a little bit now because it's just popped up. You said you speak at schools, and I know doing the many interviews that you do, and that's how you – you're already familiar with what it takes to really grow a business as far as in building brand in the entertainment industry, so that's something that is old hat for you. But I wanted to ask you – with the schools, speaking at the schools, and now you've got a series, which that's so smart to me when I see writers do that, a series of books where people get, readers get, they connect with a character and they want to follow the character along. So with each new installment, you just gain newer and newer readers. Your readership just expands and expands and expands. Are you working with schools to the point where, let's see, when your next series comes out, not series, your installment comes out, they're just, you have an audience there. I'm talking about the schools that you've built a relationship with. They would order these books like almost like automatic. You just snap your finger because they're familiar with you. They know the character. The students love the character. I think that's just a great way to market and promote your Danny the Dragon books.
Yeah, I definitely think that based off of the amount of emails I get and responses I get all the time that they're waiting.
Okay.
They are waiting. And if it's not just the individual schools that I go to, it's because when you go to a school, for anybody who's trying to, let's say, market their book right now,
mm-hmm.
and if it's a children's book, I can tell you this, and even if you're going to a bookstore and you're marketing your books to adults, it's very important to really realize when you're there as a group, you're not talking really to the group. You're trying to make an impression on the individuals. And I may have, 100 kids in that audience, or I might have 30, because I did one with 450 kids in the auditorium.
Whoa.
And I have to make an impression on each one of those.
Mm-hmm.
But not because I'm trying to sell them. It's because that's what my book is, that's what's in my heart, is I want them to understand my story. So then I do the question and answer, and I always give things out. And even as an adult author, or if you're a children's author, give them a flyer, give them a postcard, give them something, give them a way to connect up with you and invite them to stay connected so that they can see what you're doing between now and then. Then meaning when your next book comes out or when maybe they can meet you again. And that's what happens with these schools is I will give things to the kids and then the parents connect up through my websites, through the newsletters, because I send out a newsletter once a month, sometimes once every month and a half because I'm kind of behind on that. But that's a way for them to stay connected. And so it ends up being rather than just, well, the schools definitely I could always go back to.
Mm-hmm.
That's never an issue. The schools themselves will either purchase a book or the individual kids purchase the book.
Okay. I think that's so interesting. That is so a valuable tip that you just gave. Actually, you shared a couple of valuable tips, and I thank you for that, Tina, that to stay connected for our listeners here at Off the Shelf, because we do have a lot of authors who tune in. Stay connected with your audience. It just makes the work easier, and any company knows this as far as growing a business. You want to stay connected with your current clients because they're the ones who can really go out and get you new clients as they talk about your products or your books and tell people how much they enjoy them. So stay connected. Flyers, bookmarks, different things. The contests that you have. Contests are excellent marketing promotion tools that you have at your website. And just your own enthusiasm about Danny the Dragon. I got to tell you, it comes through. This is my second time interviewing you. It comes through in your voice, and that is That's contagious, and that'll also help somebody to build readers. I was told that breaking in with children's books can be tough, even though a lot of children's books are out there. But poetry and children's books, I've always been told, those are two tough markets to break into, and you've managed to do that. So I've got to commend you on that.
And it was not overnight. It has not been overnight. The last 2 years have been a lot of work. And
mm-hmm.
so, it's always easy when you're looking at somebody who's successful or in a particular business and they make it look so easy because all you're seeing is the end result. Or for me, it's not even the end result. I'm still got a long ways to go. But, I don't like to do anything but be sincere for somebody else. It is work, and it does
mm-hmm.
take work. And, I've done so many interviews. At one point, I was interviewing other people on their success of various businesses, and every single person who is successful has told me it's taken work.
Yes.
It's taken hard work. So there's no secret magic to it. And there's a lot of, when you have a children's book and you're trying to make it known, I spent 17 days in, and that's not even counting the flights, but 17 days going from city to city.
Ooh.
You know, just promoting the book. And that was city to every night in a different hotel. I could not wait to get back home. I just
oh my goodness! That works. I know the times I've gone on the road. I'm gonna tell you, I did it for 2 years. That really does work. It's tough, but yes, it works. I want to talk about how you landed your illustrator for Danny the Dragon meets Jenny. Jimmy, if you could just share with our listeners here at Off the Shelf, the book, the website. It's the illustrator who did the book. Is that the same person who also created the Danny the Dragon website? And how did you land that illustrator? Just phenomenal, phenomenal book cover.
Thank you. Well, Danny the Dragon, I just need to, first of all, know the person who did the web design for the main design, his name is Chris Nickerson. He's an amazing man, and he actually doesn't do web designs, but he did this out of a lot of help, and he actually helped me to learn for close to a year and a half, maybe 2 years, about social marketing as well, because I knew nothing. So he took the designs, he took her characters, he took my illustrator's characters and used those to create the design, and then he and I would sit together and we would work out the colors and where I wanted this and that. So I'm very hands-on in my designs of my websites, all of them. I have to be, or else I'm just... It just never gets to my liking. So it was sort of a collaboration. Now, as far as the illustrator, most people will know that if you're going through a publisher, you write the book and you're packaged with an illustrator because they already have their illustrators.
Right.
I didn't want, and very often if you speak to authors, you'll find out that their illustration either was, they loved working with their illustrator because the person just read the book and got exactly what they wanted, or not.
You are so right.
And I didn't want to be one of the or nots. So I had already seen what people's ideas of Danny the Dragon were, and so I went my own route for close to a year interviewing and talking to illustrators, and I came full circle back to one of the first ones I had met within the first month through the internet. She read the first little part of the book, and I gave her my own descriptions of the characters, and she presented a sketch of Danny and Jimmy and Skipper, and I felt like somebody had taken my own visions in my mind and made an exact copy, and that was how precise and spot on she was with my characters. But there was a barrier, Denise, is she lived in Europe, and she lived in an area called Latvia. And the second barrier was she speaks no English.
Wow.
So I found out that she had a translator translate my description and the first three pages of the book to her. So we worked out a deal of how we could do this, and the translator worked through me, and we went back and forth for about 2 to 3 weeks until we really nailed down the first three main characters exactly how I wanted. And from that point on, she just flowed. And then she added a few things to the rest of the pictures that I didn't want. She had, you know, due to being in Europe, when I said a spray bottle, at one point I mentioned the word spray bottle, she used a chemistry lab bottle.
Okay.
So, you know, there was some sort of the language confusions. And in Europe, in Europe, it doesn't matter. And I mean, my little boy wore pink pajamas, but she had his room all done in pink and purple. And I was like, no, no, no. In America, we do blue, and we want some sailboats on the, you know. So, you know, I just sort of had to clean up a few little areas. But that's how we worked together, and it was a bit of a process. And then she sent me. Then we went from there. You know, we
wow. Is she
going to
do
the work together?
Oh, I was going to ask you, is she going to do? I mean, she did an excellent job. She's going to do the other covers for your next books. You said
she's
going to
do. Yeah, she'll do the covers and the illustrations for the Danny the Dragon series. I'm not sure that she will be my illustrator for the cookbook unless I'm specific on it involving Danny the Dragon or not.
Okay. Okay.
We're not sure on that.
All right. Well, let's talk about your cookbook and what I know you write articles, and at your website, you have more than one website. If you could tell our listeners about some of your other websites and about the gluten-free recipes that you have. Why did you decide to? Because again, until I met you, I never even heard of gluten, and it's spelled G-L-U-T-E-N for our listeners. I never even heard of it. Why did you decide to create this cookbook and create these recipes, these gluten-free recipes?
Sure. I don't even know how many years ago, close to 11 years ago now, 8 years ago? No, 9 years. I don't know. I went for close to 7 years having something going on with my body. Digestion-wise, I had a little bit of a rash. I had aches in my joints, and I had been to ultrasounds. I had a variety of blood tests. I was given ulcer medication, even though I didn't have an ulcer. And I just went from doctor to doctor.
Mm.
And at one point, I was down to like 89 pounds.
Ooh.
And I'm a small woman already, but I was unhealthy, and I didn't know what was happening. And I was telling my husband, I'm eating food, and I don't feel like I'm absorbing it. And I was in pain. He would rub my back, and I had still the kids, you know. So I decided to take my health into my own hands. I started Googling, and we were just wondering, and we started putting in the symptoms. And all of a sudden, we started reading about gluten and this disease called celiac disease. And I said, I certainly have these symptoms. I wonder if I had any of these tests. So I went to the doctor, and I actually came back with a positive blood test. I requested the blood test from him, and I came back with a positive blood test of having celiac disease. And that all it means is that in wheat, rye, and barley, as a simple description, wheat, rye, and barley, there is one chemical component of it that is a protein that somebody who has this genetic disorder or that carries this gene
mm-hmm.
can't digest. We can't digest that one part of wheat, rye, and barley. And it damages our small intestine. So sure enough, I had a damaged area of the small intestine. It's healed since then, because the only solution to the only solution to being diagnosed celiac disease, or for somebody who can't have wheat or gluten, is to just stay off of it. There's no pills that can make you feel better, or there's nothing. There's nothing on planet Earth that will heal up your small intestine besides staying off of it.
Well, you know what?
That's your diagnosis, and that's your prescription. Stay off of gluten.
You know what's so interesting? We're constantly told, eat wheat, eat wheat, eat wheat. I got to tell you, you are the first time I've ever heard of this. And one can only wonder how many other people, and you said you went from doctor to doctor to doctor, and I think of my aunt the same. She didn't have this, but she had something else, and the doctors never found it. So, I mean, they're human as well. You took it into, I think as humans we do have to, for ourselves and our children, take some things into our own hands. I mean, these are our lives after all. But are you hearing more about this, or why do you think we don't hear more? Is it?
Well,
it must be very, very rare, because I never heard about it till I actually met you.
Yeah, well, it's not very rare. One out of 100 people in the United States have it.
Wow.
There's over 2.5 million people in the United States who have it and are not diagnosed, and there's about 40% of the population that have not celiac disease, but approximately 40% of the population have some reaction to wheat.
Wow.
To gluten or wheat. So the reason that you do not hear about it possibly, it's a huge industry right now, gluten-free and wheat-free foods. And Elizabeth Hasselbeck of The View went for years undiagnosed, and she went and finally got diagnosed at Columbia University. And there's quite a number of people who have it now who are coming out and speaking to raise awareness. And the reason we need to raise awareness of this is because the doctors in the universities, if you're going to go for your schooling, you're not taught about this. So if you have a patient that comes to you, you don't have sufficient information to run these tests.
Mm-hmm.
I even had gone to a gastroenterologist, and he never gave me a blood test for celiac disease. And they should definitely, if you have any digestion problems, even though there's close to 200 symptoms, you can have no digestion problems and you can have just this rash that's like a blistery rash.
Mm-hmm.
And they will do a biopsy on the small intestine of somebody who has this little rash, and they'll find the damaged part of the small intestine called the villi, same area.
Mm.
So there's a variety of symptoms, headaches, joints, digestion stuff, the skin rash. You know, the skin rash is a very specific type of celiac disease. It's called dermatitis herpetiformis. It's a real fancy word.
So do children get this, or is it basically adults, you would say?
Well, it used to be called a childhood disease, but
okay.
It is now adult onset, and what's happening is you carry the gene. You have to have the gene to have it, and it's carried through the family. And what's happening is there's something in the adult's life that triggers it, some sort of stress, something that happens that all of a sudden it'll flare up, and then you end up. But the dangerous part about celiac disease, without these doctors properly testing and for so many years being misdiagnosed, what ends up happening, because it's an autoimmune disease like multiple sclerosis and lupus and these other ones, you end up with additional autoimmune diseases that kick in, and then you never get to the source of what actually was happening.
Wow.
So if I have a website, which is Gluten-Free Help, H-E-L-P, like helping, glutenfreehelp.info, and I have a number of people that write in, and doctors and nurses also, that are sharing their own personal stories, and mothers that share their personal stories that they've gone through from finally being diagnosed on. And I've interviewed, 69 companies since January 1st, gluten-free companies, and all their reviews are going up all throughout the year now.
Wow. Are you
any of these companies?
When can we expect to see the gluten-free cookbook? When can we expect to see that out, Tina?
That will be out within, I would say, between now and the end, like the middle of 2011, it will come out between the Danny the Dragon book is going to come out, the first in the series, and possibly the other one, and then the cookbook.
Okay.
It's going to go in that order, unless something changes with the publisher. If the publisher changes, it's their scheduling.
Okay.
It's
one busy lady. And you also blog for our listeners at Off the Shelf. Tina Turbin, she has a blog and a live journal for Danny the Dragon. Could you just tell us a little bit about the blog and where that concept for the blog came from? And do you recommend that to other authors? Has that been something that you have found to be rewarding, having a blog about your book's main character?
Yeah. I have a blog on the Danny the Dragon. I have a blog on all of my sites, actually, Danny the Dragon and the Gluten Free, and I have a separate blog connected with the Tina Turbin. And the Tina Turbin site is just generally everything about Tina for the most part, mostly for publicists or media to contact and get to know me if they have any questions. The Danny, of course, is for the books, and the gluten is for my interest in that area. But to answer your question as far as the blog, I created the blog on the Danny the Dragon site to remain connected with my readers and to share things that do come up that having to do with anything regarding books, writing, children, parenting, anything, because it's all sort of connected. You know, a kid goes to school, even nutrition can affect what's happening in their reading. So I just share various points, and I have people that will write in and share something, and I'll say, can I share that with my readers? And I'll give you credit because I want them to know what you've shared. So I share things from others, too, that they feel that maybe something's important they want me to know. I think it's important sometimes to share with everybody. And, yes, a blog is a very important tool. If you have a website that you are advertising anything on, even if it's just you, you know,
mm-hmm.
if it's just there and you have separately a blog, not connected to it in any way, your website is basically just sitting there not changing and nothing's happening.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
if you have a blog connected with your website, it makes your website refreshed. And for the search engines, you're getting into technical matters now, it's very, very beneficial.
Mm-hmm.
And it does help. And there's a lot more things that need to be done to to make your website and to make you more known, but that's definitely a very good thing to do. And to keep your, you know, blog at least once a week. You know, I do quite a bit more.
No, I agree with you completely. The web, the browsers, they do like to, the more links you have, and also the more, I guess I would call it, the more alive your website seems. So it's getting regular updates. The people who bookmark your website, they'll come back again and again because they know every Tuesday she does this, or he does this every Thursday, he changes this. They'll come back. So you'll have repeat visitors, and the more people see you, they say it takes eight to nine or ten times for a person to see something before their trust level is raised to the point where they'll make a purchase. So that also will encourage people to come back enough. It builds trust and for them to trust you and your products and your brand, and then your sales. You should see your sales also increase. Tina, before we come down to like our last 9 minutes, I wanted to ask, your press kit is the best so far press kit that I have seen. I wanted to ask you, I know you were involved in like the illustration. You said you work with your book illustrator to do the cover and the illustrations for Danny the Dragon, and you also worked with the illustrator for your website to put the Danny the Dragon website together. Did you either create your press kit yourself, or did you hire someone and then you partnered with them to put that together? I don't know how to really describe your press kit to people, our listeners here, without them seeing it. It's very visually attractive, but it's not so professional that it doesn't feel stiff. It feels like you're just meeting a friend. That's what it feels
like
to me.
Are you looking at the press kit on the Danny the Dragon side or the Tina? Which press kit are you looking at? Danny the Dragon or Tina Turbin?
The Tina Turbin.
Okay, the press kit. I have a lot of input. If I do an event, let's say at a hospital, I write all my own text. So unless it's an article on me, if there's an article that's written on me, I will include that in my press kit. But if there's something about it, I will write the text about it. And then I had some input as far as what colors I wanted and where I wanted the picture placed. And so I had quite a bit of input on the press kit. I think, again, it comes down to at this point, you know, can just add a page at a time. But, you know, the initial, it's quite a loaded press kit. So I had a lot of input because I really wanted it to communicate who I am. Some people, as you said, it's not stiff. Some people can create something that way. But I had a lady named Joellen who helped me with it, and she had an artistic eye, so she was receptive to my ideas, and so we worked well together. I didn't want it to be a real formal piece because, I mean, I needed it to serve its purpose for the media, which is who contact you on those things.
Right, and you also put it at Tina also has this at her website at tinaturbin.com. That's the website I keep mentioning. She also has other websites. You can the Danny the Dragon, where there's a blog there, and at her website on Tina Turbin, and then the gluttonfreehelp.info site, which if you want to find out about the recipe book. There's a Danny the Dragon and new installment coming out too, and then the cookbook. That's the order Tina is looking to have those come out in. That could change, but that's the way.
I'm hoping the cookbook comes out.
Now you also do article writing, Tina. Do you still write articles even with all the touring and the radio interviews and the speaking at the schools that you're doing?
Yes.
Oh my goodness!
Write three articles a week. I write three articles. That's my target. I always, without fail, have three articles a week that I put out. But I also write for publications like National Foundation for Celiac Awareness, or I might write for a magazine, whatever is needed for that month if they're featuring a certain topic. You know, so I enjoy writing it. That part comes easy, very easy for me.
Now, would you say that you started, you said that when your kids were younger, you did not write. Your son sort of kind of geared you toward the entertainment because he loved to sing, and then other people told you, you know, he has a beautiful voice, and he was just so drawn to that down that path. Would you say that you are? You seem to me to be a writer at heart. Would you say that that is true, or is that just something that sort of evolved over time, or have you loved to write since you were a child?
I loved to write when I was a child, and I loved art. You could take Tina and you could put her in an art class, you could put her in a writing class, and you could put her in a swimming pool, and she'd be happy the rest of her life, you know? And when I was 16, I wrote my first real children's story, which I was going to do something with, but I didn't get a lot of support because at 16 I could write, but I didn't know what to do after that point. So I started contacting companies myself, but I didn't get a lot of support through my family at that point. And but I never put it aside, but I continued to paint and draw and swim. So there I was. But when I married my, when I married my husband, we had the child soon after, he was born, I think, 11 months after our marriage. Mm-hmm. And I knew that I would always come back to my writing. I knew it. Mm-hmm. I knew it. I absolutely knew it. And, I wrote the guidebook while the kids were still young.
Mm-hmm.
And I would write promo pieces, and I continued to find ways to write. I created a lot of materials for our studio, Showbiz Kids in Burbank, which is right next to Hollywood, California. So I was always writing and doing promotional pieces and designing things like that. So I had my ways of doing that. I just wasn't writing this type of stuff,
mm-hmm.
which is, I had the time to uninterruptedly sit down, which is very important for a writer. Very important.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Uninterrupted time. Close the door. Turn off the phone.
Yes.
Don't sneak a peek at your emails. They're distracting.
And then you keep going back and forth and back.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. See, we are, with our last 3 minutes coming up, we are just so honored to be talking to Tina Turbin. She is familiar with the entertainment industry. She had her studio in Burbank. Her son was, is in the industry as well. And when he was younger, and she was taking him to these shows that he would sing at and commercials. And so other mothers reached out to her and asked for help. How can I get my child and agent, get them involved in the industry? And then Tina Turbin sat down and wrote a book called Showbiz Kids East Coast Guidebook. Years later, she wrote the Danny the Dragon series, and now the Glutton Free, that recipe book, should be out either later this year or next year. You can get her books at Amazon.com. You can go to a major bookstore, I'm sure, a publisher. They're in Ingram's and Baker and Taylor and those other major distributors. If you don't see it on the shelves, just go up to the bookstore clerk. Tell her you'd like to get a copy of the Danny the Dragon books by Tina Turbin, or when her recipe book comes out. If you keep in touch with her at her website, you can launch into her different websites through www.tinaturbin.com. That's spelled TINATURBIN.com to find out when the next Danny the Dragon installments are coming out and when the next the gluten-free recipe books come out. She has performed with Sesame Street. She's performed in front of audiences with hundreds of people. She travels east and west coast. This is to me, an accomplished woman, and she's just going to just continue to advance and go further. So I encourage people to connect with her now while she's going up, rather than when she gets to the point where she's so busy that it may be difficult for her to shoot back emails because she's just got hundreds of thousands of readers. So I would encourage you to connect with her now by going to her website and just keeping in touch with her. She has contests there for children, and again, get a copy of her books. Tina, with just a minute or a little more than a minute to go, briefly, what last words of encouragement or advice would you leave with our listeners here at Off the Shelf?
Well, for any of the mothers, just definitely follow your dreams. Do not give up on your own dreams, and know that you are important. For anybody who's interested in writing, again, the same thing. Follow your dreams, and any obstacles that come up, take it as an experience, but don't let it stop you. Like, just go through the obstacles and, again, follow your dreams. I think it's very important.
Thank you so much, Tina, and she's a woman who not only is giving that advice, but she is living that advice. Hopefully you'll go to her website, check her out.
follow her or any radio interviews that she has coming up, any appearances that she has because she is traveling, that you can see and meet her in person and bring your children or your grandchildren out, or babysitting kids or whatever, you can bring them out in schools to contact her to support her. We thank you so much for being here with us on Off the Shelf, Tina. I have so enjoyed you yet again, so it's been a pleasure for me. To our listeners, we'll see you here next Saturday at 11 o'clock, where we'll have Abe Morris, who's also an author and a former professional rodeo professional here at Off the Shelf, at 11 o'clock next Saturday morning. Please stop by and visit Tina Turbin again, www.tinaturbin.com. Keep up with Danny the Dragon. Keep up with the Glutton-Free Recipe Series. Keep up with her interviews and her in-person school and other book signing events, that you can go out and meet her in person. She's a phenomenal woman. And remember that you are so valued to our listeners here at Off the Shelf. You're so valued, so important, and so incredibly blessed. Thank you for being with us, and goodbye for now. Tina, I'll shoot you an email.